Welcome to the Breaking Up with Yo-Yo Dieting podcast. I'm your host, Amber McKenzie. I'm an author, speaker, and former yo-yo dieter turned successful weight maintainer, and I get to live in a body I love. Each week, I'll share stories, practical strategies, and have inspiring conversations with guests to help you get and keep the body you dream of. Now let's find out how to break up with yo-yo dieting and fall in love with yourself.
It's nice to look healthy on the outside, but that's not necessarily an indication of what's going on in the inside. Keeping your health, I think, as one of your primary goals in mind is probably the most important thing.
This podcast is not meant to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any medical or mental health condition. Please check with your healthcare professional before making changes to your diet or exercise program. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited to have research nutritionist at Isagenics, Alex Moore, on today. So one of the reasons I started this podcast is because I would listen to Isagenics podcasts. So if you've heard my story, you know I use the nutritional products from Isagenics. I listen, and he's on tons of interviews and provides so much great information that I thought, oh my gosh, I have to have him on. So I also want to say that this podcast isn't all about Isagenics, but that is how I found out about this guy and just think the world of him and his knowledge. So not only is he a research nutritionist there, he's also a PhD student in nutrition science. He's the chair for the Southwest region of food technology. And his hobbies, interests, free time, he spends juggling that, but also he's interested in nutrition, physical activity. So I'm super excited to have you on. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much, Amber. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is such a pleasure to have you. So I let you know ahead of time that we're going to be doing a rapid fire, something new to the podcast that I'm just getting started from. So we're going to get going on that. Are you ready?
I'll do my best.
Well, I'm looking forward to whatever that is. So the first question you should probably know, where are you from? Where do you live now?
So I'm originally from a small town north of Seattle, Washington. I lived all along the West Coast, pretty much California. I lived in Las Vegas for a while, but I am currently in Phoenix, Arizona. I've been here for about 5 years now. So I'm still trying to get used to the heat here. I don't think I'm quite there. But I don't think I'm going to be moving anytime soon. So here I am.
There you are. You've lived a lot of places. Holy. All right. Next question. Do you ever get food cravings? And if so, how do you manage them?
I think I do. I mean, I think everyone does to an extent. I'm pretty, I would say, kind of intuitive with my food intake. I'm consuming a lot of fruits and vegetables over the day. So I don't think they ever really get out of control. But you know, there is some dark chocolate laying around here at the office that, you know, sometimes I'll grab a piece or two, but I don't get anything that's really intense where I'm really, you know, going crazy.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for that. Next, do you call food treat meals, cheat meals, or don't even specify anything like that altogether?
I think I call food food. I think when we kind of put those labels on food, I think it kind of sets us, it kind of puts us in a difficult situation and might set us up for some issues, you know, as we're trying to break those bad habits. You know, obviously there's food that's good for you and food that's probably not so good for you. So I'm trying to get more away from labels on foods and diets and all this stuff, because I think a lot of it really kind of antagonizes people and groups. And I really think it does a lot of harm in the end.
Oh my gosh. Well, I just love that you said that, and I'm totally going to want a quick aside, but I think an interesting thing is I get in my DMs and my inbox all the time, like, how do you handle cheat meals? How many cheat meals do you have a week? And I don't really think of that in that way. And since I've started asking this rapid fire, most people are saying something similar in their own way to what you've just said. So I think it's a really interesting mindset difference, the people that maybe are having cheat meals versus these people that are explaining things similarly to what you just did. So I'm going to move on before I go on a random tangent, or you do, but that was great. Thank you so much for that. The next question kind of plays into that. So if you were to have a cheat, a treat, or you said maybe a food that's not as good for you, but trying to stay away from the labels, how does that fit into the regular way that you actually eat?
You know, I think as of late, just because of how busy I am, I I am really kind of adopting a diet where I'm not eating very much until later in the day, just simply because it's a time issue for me. So that's where I'm trying to be kind of careful. And like I already mentioned, I always have some fruit or some vegetables around. So when that does happen, and I think for a lot of people, like myself, it usually happens later in the evening. I make sure that, you know, I'm drinking plenty of water and I'm eating a lot of these satiating and fiber rich foods. So if I do get to that point, it's really not that bad. But, you know, like I said, I'm human. I'm like everybody else. And, you know, sometimes life happens. But when it does, I'm just making sure that I'm being aware of the situation. And, you know, this happens often in social situations. And I think when it does, I enjoy the company. I enjoy the moment. I enjoy the people around me. And I just, you know, slowly I'll have, there's something that's not so great, I'll have a little bit of it, but I'll just be very mindful of it. But I think, you know, it's important, like I was saying, to enjoy the moment. And, you know, with the holidays coming up and stuff like that, you know, being with other people, it's not just about the food necessarily. It's about the environment that you're in. And there's a lot of other components to that. So enjoying the moment is what I try to do.
Oh, I love that you just said that. That's so good, especially mentioning the holidays are coming up. Next question, who has been the most influential person to your health and wellness journey?
That's, like I said, I'm not good at answering this super rapidly. I think it was actually my parents. Mm-hmm. They always ate a very balanced, and I would label it as healthy diet. And they've always been involved with physical activity. My mom was, I think, like back when aerobics were popular, she was an aerobics instructor. And she, as a kid, used to bring me in like into the class and like put me in the corner and was like, you need to be quiet. Just, you know, why do this? And I don't know, I was exposed early on. And I remember I really wanted to, you know, get to the gym. And like, just before I was a teen, like I really wanted to get into the weight room and everything. And there was like an age limit. You had to wait till you were 14 before you could get in the weight room. So I remember, cause I had to, you know, I would go with, use the basketball courts and stuff at the gym. And I was like, man, I'm trying to get in the weight room. And I was just like, I was waiting for a couple of years. And like when I was 14, it finally happened. And it was like the greatest, you know, first year of my life kind of thing.
You were 14 finally.
Yeah, I know. So. So I don't know. It's just always kind of been there. It's just been, I guess, part of my family culture. And it's always been, I've never viewed it as drudgery or a chore or a task. It's always a privilege to be able to do that. And I think that's how people have to view it, as a privilege, because really, if you look at it, you know, we're given this amazing body. And I'm not saying that you need to go out and understand the anatomy and the physiology behind the human body, but it is an amazing piece of equipment. And it's really a shame that you don't put it to use. And when you do put it to use and you do it on a regular basis, it's amazing to see what happens and amazing to see how you feel. And I think I really, because I've been doing it all my life, I really couldn't see it any other way.
Absolutely. So I'm going to skip a couple questions and say, what's your favorite workout?
So that always
changes. Aerobics?
Yeah. That actually is my favorite right now. So I like, yes. So I like to, currently I like to ride my bike. I'm really into hills right now.
Okay.
Just because I can really push myself and it's really strenuous and it doesn't take up a lot of time. I was liking to go on longer rides, but I just can't take three hours out of my day anymore. So, I'm really into like high intensity, like hill work on the bike right now.
Awesome. Do you weigh yourself? And if so, how often?
I was weighing myself in the summer when I was doing a lot of hiking. And that was mainly just to make sure I was hydrated. I wasn't using it as a tool necessarily to make sure I was in a particular range. I would use it as just a way to make sure that I was consuming enough water during activity, because here in Arizona, the humidity is so low and it gets so hot that, I mean, I would go out on a hike and I would lose probably around 7 pounds of fluid.
Holy.
So I just wanted to be careful.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
But it's not something that I really regularly do. Maybe I'll start doing it now that you mention it. It's collecting dust right now.
All right. I like to hear about when scales collect dust, especially for people that have fitness and health in their life. I like to hear about dusty scales sometimes. Next question. Are you an intuitive eater or do you follow a food plan?
I used to follow a food plan when I was a bit more competitive and younger. And, you know, I think a lot of us that have been involved with fitness and, you know, kind of the nutrition culture have tried all different methods. But I really like an intuitive eating schedule. It really fits my lifestyle. And I think I'm a little bit more mature now where I can handle that, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
That's kind of what I'm up to.
Okay. Next question. How often are you working out these days?
Last 2.5 weeks, zero.
Zero, holy.
So not very much. I usually like to get in weights, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. I'm kind of fortunate because here where I work, there's actually a gym that is right next door. So it's kind of hard not to, you know, go to the gym. But so I'll try to do that during lunch. And then otherwise, I'd like to hop on my bike 4 to 5 times per week. But again, that's hit or miss right now. So
What's your favorite way to engage in self-care?
Can you define self-care, or is that just kind of a nebulous term where I'm
supposed to... It's just this nebulous term that you get to define self-care for yourself and then say how you like to engage in it, basically. It's totally up in the air.
Well, I think I'm going to go from a mental sanity standpoint. And I kind of have this ritual in the morning where I wake up and, you know, all the lights are off and everything. And before I get out, like before I jump out of bed or whatever, I just kind of... I don't know. I don't want to call it meditation or something, but I just kind of like lay there and I'm fully awake and I don't think about my day necessarily or like all the things I have to do. I just lay there and I just try to relax my mind. And it doesn't take very long. It's just a couple of minutes. And then I get up and it's like a clean slate. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, it just, I don't know. I feel really good and it helps kind of manage my stress levels, I think.
Thank you for that. Next question. What's one thing, one phrase you think of when you hear the word self-love?
That's a hard one. I think you should know when to appreciate yourself.
That's a good answer. Okay. Last question. And we're going to go into this in more detail just generally, but if you had one tip, one key that has been important for your body weight or shape management, what would it be?
Know why you're doing what you're doing.
Ooh, that's good. All right, everybody. So now we're going to dive in and we're going to talk about what are we doing? Maybe we're going to talk about know why you're doing what you're doing, but we're going to talk today about weight loss, the energy balance equation. We're going to talk about the main drivers of that, diet, physical activity. So Alex, let's get started. Let's get started talking about diet. If people want to lose weight, where should their starting place be, do you think?
What type of people are we talking about? Just everyday people?
They're everyday people that are maybe scrolling on Instagram or social media or Facebook and they're like, hey, I could stand to lose a few pounds. But if there's differentiators, like maybe if there's differentiator between your everyday people or maybe there's different populations that we need to know about that we're not aware of, maybe you could even break that down for us a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think it's always important to know where you're starting and it's important to know where you want to go. So I think, I mean, this is basic and I'm sure this is all been covered plenty of times in your podcast, but having some goals and an idea of where you want to go and some kind of tangible marker to assess that. And I'm not just talking about weight because humans are funny because just in my experience and obviously working for a health and wellness company and, you know, having my degrees related to this, it's people, what really seems to motivate them is how they're looking, you know, how much weight loss they have, how they're viewed by others. But I think they really miss some of the important goals. And like you were talking about self-love, I mean, however you might want to define that, but also health, because, you know, it's nice to look healthy on the outside, but that's not necessarily an indication of what's going on the inside. Mm-hmm. So keeping your health, I think, as one of your primary goals in mind, is probably the most important thing, because you can't enjoy all those other things if you're not healthy. And for anyone that has had health issues, you know, you quickly realize that, you know, all the people that you might be trying to please, or your peers that, you know, you're trying to look better for, or, you know, your family or whatever, it doesn't really matter if you yourself are not healthy, because, you know, if things go wrong, then things go wrong, right? It doesn't matter. Yeah. So I think establishing goals that are really important to your life overall, and not just thinking in the short term. So we all know that establishing long-term goals and obviously short-term goals to get to those are really important. But think beyond just the common goals that we're off. Unfortunately, the media is kind of in part responsible for that, I believe, you know, sending out all these crazy messages and stuff. But you need to think for yourself really what's important to you and the goals that you want to establish and work towards.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. You know, you said, where are you starting? Where are you trying to go? What's that tangible marker? And not just the thinness, the health. And when people look at me, they can be confused about my story sometimes looking back, and they can be like, oh, Amber, you were really thin before. And yeah, I was hardly eating, and it was crazy. And my eating, I had an eating disorder, and it wasn't healthy. And one of my goals this time was to be a healthy human. And I think you raise really good points. It's about, what is that overall goal? Like, what are you doing this for? And for me, it was to be healthy and to be able to give back and have energy to give to the people that I cared about. Because before, I was thin, but I couldn't go out because I had no energy to even do that. So I think you raise such important things that people should really think about. Is it's not just about weight loss. It is about that overall health as well.
Yeah. I just want to bring up this point really quick. There is actually such a thing as people that would be considered, you know, normal weight or normal BMI or non-obese or however you want to classify it, and metabolically unhealthy. Mm. It's well documented. And there's also people that would be considered obese that fit the criteria for a healthy metabolic profile. So it visually, it's not revealing the full story. Mm-hmm. And again, it comes down to really what's important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so say we're looking at this, we're like, okay, well, it is important to me to have some health. Maybe I don't need to be the lowest weight ever in the world, but maybe I'd like to shed that, you know, 5 pounds or 10 pounds or something like that. I don't have to be the lowest weight ever, but feel good in my skin. Mm-hmm. What would be some of the things that people should be thinking about if they want to make maybe a short-term goal of 5 pounds? Maybe they're like, hey, 5 pounds every month, we'll see what happens, or just 5 pounds. What would be some of the top things to be changing in their diet to not just be thin, but be metabolically healthy at what that weight would be?
Well, I think first they should look at what got them to the point that they're unhappy with. And looking at those behaviors, and those behaviors could be a lot of things. They could be sleep habits, they could be diet, they could be physical activity, but obviously they're not happy with their current condition and they did something to get there. So I think looking at those causative factors and seeing what you can, like, look at the low hanging fruit. Like,
yeah.
Let's start simple. And I think that's something that a lot of people forget. And I hate to sound like I'm oversimplifying a lot of these concepts, because they are you know, obviously at the surface they seem very simple, but they're very complex. Mm-hmm. But just hear me out. I think if you first aim at the low hanging fruit and you're making small steps and you're establishing basically a base, if you will, like a base of a pyramid, your progress and just your overall motivation is going to be so much better, and it's going to be easier every incremental step that you take towards your weight loss goal. And as things get more complex and you go up higher and higher on the tree, those things that may have seemed difficult at first, I think will just kind of melt away. Maybe not melt away, but certainly not be as difficult as they were to begin with. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you're talking about someone that has established some pretty horrible sleep patterns and, you know, they're having cravings throughout the day because of that, maybe they could do something as simple as, you know, just going to bed 1 or 2 hours earlier and starting there. Small incremental steps, low hanging fruit. There's nothing wrong with doing it that way. You don't have to pull out all the tricks in your bag from the get-go. And when you do that, when you do it that way, because I know everyone gets really motivated and they want to have their diet plan and they want to go to the gym at 4:30 in the morning, and it's just not going to be sustainable.
Right.
Initially, it's just, that's just not how we work as humans.
Right.
I know it looks good on paper, and you know, you can go through social media and you see all this, these things. By the way, I stay away from social media. But I think, you know, a lot of that, I'm not saying it's bad necessarily, but I think you can get wrapped up in it and get a warped perception. And that can definitely affect your goal setting and basically what you're doing in your routine. But focusing on the low hanging fruit, taking small steps, I think, and from my experience, has yielded the best results.
I love that you talk about low hanging fruit also in terms of it could be sleep, it could be diet, it could be physical activity. But, you know, I think you bring up a huge great point about the sleep. Like our diet is regulated a lot by that sleep as well. And if we're not getting enough sleep, there's those of us out there like, yeah, I'm getting 4 hours, I'm getting 5 hours, I'm awesome. But we don't take a step back to see the impact of that low sleep on the rest of our life and how that impacts our eating as well. So I think you raise a really good point. Just start looking at the fundamental factors of health overall that we talk about from the time we're kids.
Yeah. And I think it's important to realize, I mean, again, another simple topic, but in a lot of instances in our current society, in Western society anyway, there's really kind of this mismatch, I think, with how our bodies should be, you know, the environment they should be versus the environment that they're in. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to sound, you know, strange here or whatever, but I mean, think about our environment currently. Like for myself, I'm in an office or an office-like building most of the day, receiving artificial light. I'm not outside very much.
Right.
I'm not getting exposure to sunlight very much. You know, I go to my house, which has a bunch of electronics. I'm receiving all this artificial light when the sun is already set hours after. It's just not how our bodies are designed. Mm-hmm. In each one of our body cells, we have specific genes called clock genes, which are regulated by sunlight, by the circadian rhythm. And, you know, we're kind of living in this really artificial environment. And, you know, when we adopt all these unhealthy behaviors, like I would consider having a TV in your bedroom an unhealthy behavior.
That is.
We're really setting ourselves up for disaster. So I think the further you get away from really how we're designed, and this is not necessary in all cases, but I'm just naming like obviously a glaring one. I think you really set yourself up for failure, not only on your diet, but also your health. Like, unfortunately, I think a lot of us, you know, particularly that have office jobs and stuff, it's just the way it is. I'm tied to my computer for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. But we can do little things like get up every hour and walk outside and get some sunlight. But, you know, going home and exacerbating it by watching TV for hours is not helping. So look at your life and kind of that way and where you can remove those things.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with everything you're saying. And I'm hoping that you can draw a link for some of us here if pretend we're not following you for a second, even though I feel like I am. So say we're one of those people working an office job and we're not getting sunlight and we're tied to our computers. How will going out for those, you know, even getting up from our desk, just going to the washroom, going to the water cooler, or getting outside, going for a walk every hour or so, but doing something, moving away, how do you think that would aid us in our weight management?
Well, there's actually some research on this. It was actually a pretty cool study. I wrote about it a couple of years ago. I can't remember the author's names, but they looked at a group of individuals. I believe it was in an office setting, and they either just had them, you know, it was a control, basically not change the routine, or they would have them get up. I believe it was every 90 minutes or something like that, where they'd have to get up and do 5 or 10 minutes of physical activity. And they looked at several things. And one of the things that they noted was that their appetite and their body weight reduced. So sitting in front of a screen all day long, not doing any physical activity, for some reason was causing people to have an increased appetite versus getting up and doing some kind of physical activity intermittently. It actually helped regulate their appetite to where it should have been, right? If I'm not doing anything, I shouldn't be super hungry all the time and snacking all the time. So I think it helps regulate our appetite. I think getting sun exposure is extremely healthy and obviously moderate, sensibly dosed. But I think that's extremely important for our bodies as a whole. And also, you know, if you think about it, when you are really intensely working mentally, you're more productive when you take breaks. If you are going to work for 8 hours or take breaks every 90 minutes, which for myself, you know, speaking anecdotally, that's about my attention span. And at that point, I need to get up and just kind of move around and think about other things. I think that's probably really beneficial for your mental health and your overall productivity.
I completely agree with you. Completely agree. And if it's, you know, for your mental health, just getting away so that you're not feeling anxious, you're not feeling overwhelmed, or you're just not feeling like you're grinding through the day, like getting away gives those breaks for you're feeling joy or pleasure or just de-stressing before you go back and hitting the grind. And sometimes people think like, oh, I'll just grind it out and get it done faster. But it actually, that hinders us, not helps us. So I'm so glad you just spoke to that.
And I think it brings about, I mean, this is my, again, I'm speaking a lot from my experience, but it brings about one thing that I try to avoid as much as possible, and that's stress.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you take some time for yourself and you get up and you put perspective into what you're doing and think about just everything, I think it helps reduce stress. And reducing stress is a good thing for everything.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Alex, I know that you're in Arizona. I'm in Toronto, Canada. The winter has come, and you were just talking about sunlight, circadian rhythm. And it got me thinking, like, this time of year, if people suffer from maybe seasonal affective disorder, or they suffer from that seasonal part of depression, one of the symptoms from a food side that can come with that is craving more carbohydrate-y, more higher fat foods is sometimes people see. Mm-hmm. This time of year, and well, all times of year, people can have that craving, that carbohydrate-y kind of food. And we're talking about conquering low-hanging fruit. And say maybe it's people are doing a drive-through at Tim Hortons. Oh, that's our coffee place here. So they're driving through,
getting
coffee. Okay, so we're getting coffee and donuts, or maybe they're, you know, just hitting the McDonald's drive-through on the way home. They're craving that carbohydrate-y, that fatty foods. Is there anything that you could suggest out that would, like, a switch out of this for that, just to help things that are quick or easy in the diet if we're going to try to tackle some of those things that maybe could be helpful for us?
Yeah, just some basic tips. I think one of the main things that people could do is drink, not only just drink more water, but make sure that you're drinking water throughout the day and staying hydrated. I know that we all understand this, but the body doesn't, we're not camels. We don't really have an ability to like store large amounts of water. And, you know, drinking large, you know, like bring a gallon jug around or, you know, things like that. It's not really an efficient way to hydrate. I think, you know, consuming over the course of the day and making sure that you're staying up on it, you'll be surprised at how it really affects your appetite and your overall digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, I definitely find myself feeling more satiated. And obviously my energy is higher and I don't get those same dips, you know, or cravings or whatever in the afternoon. Another thing I think is really important is to, like, if you work at an office or whatever, it's just have healthy snacks and food options on hand. You know, I don't like to get put into situations where I go through, and unfortunately this happens more than I like now, but, you know, get caught in situations where I really have nothing to eat. And before I know it, it's, you know, 7 or 8 at night and I haven't had anything. And, you know, you can set yourself up for trouble.
Right.
Assuming you're not like intermittently fasting or something. Assuming.
Right.
So just be mindful of that and, you know, have some preemptive kind of measures in place to prevent that.
And when you say like healthy snacking, food options on hand, is there any kind of ideas that you could give to people that would be a healthier option? I know sometimes people ask me, they don't actually know what a healthier option is or know what to eat. Do you have any ideas of something to have on hand that would be quick or easy, but also a healthy choice as well?
I don't want to put it like a target on my back, because if I say the wrong thing, then everyone's going to hate me. But, you know, I'll preface it this way. It kind of depends on what your diet is, right?
Right.
But I mean, we can talk very broadly, but I think things that have high nutrient quality, because
Ooh.
Overall, when we talk about, if we ever get into this later on, you know, I just want to say for the record that I'm a fan and I believe in a diet that is high in quality, not necessarily looking at macronutrients like high protein and low carbs and high fat. I think overall, if we look at diet quality, particularly for people that are new to this and are trying to figure things out, that's really what they should focus on. So by nutrient quality, I'm talking about micronutrient density. We're talking about vitamins, minerals. I think fiber is a huge one. And most people, the majority of people in Western society, are not getting enough fiber. So we can look to fruit, vegetables. I actually have a whole container of oatmeal right beside me here. So, you know, if it's quick, you know, quick oatmeal, if I need with oat bran, if I need to, and I forgot to bring my dinner or whatever, I have something on hand to help, you know, kind of help get me through. But I think we all kind of know what nutrient quality food is. I mean, I don't think if I took your average person, I took them into a supermarket, I think more or less they could kind of show me if I maybe helped direct them a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we're looking at highly refined foods, you know, with a high satiation index, meaning that they're highly rewarding, you know, usually those aren't so healthy. You know, maybe there's obviously some examples that you can provide that, you know, go against that. But, you know, thinking about sugary cereals and chips and baked goods particularly, which are very popular at this time of year. You know, those offer, particularly when you're stressed, a high reward value.
Right.
And, you know, if you can eat an apple and maybe a handful of almonds and have a nice big cup of water and then just go on a walk for 5 minutes, you might be surprised that craving kind of goes away because you might be really stressed in the moment and really craving that reward when maybe you need to step back from your stressful situation and just kind of reassess things. And, you know, maybe that will go away. And in a lot of cases it does.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's about like changing, getting away from that mindset. And if your body's having a true hunger craving, actually satisfying your body with something that will replenish the hunger, not just light it up. So yeah, I think that's really useful information.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, if it's really hunger, do you think your body is going to better utilize a chocolate chip cookie or an apple and almonds? I mean, I could give you my guess, but
I have a sense. I would know what your guess is too. So, Alex, you've given us so much about the weight loss, the diet aspect, giving us some things to think about, some of the low hanging fruit, whether it's sleep, healthy snacks, staying hydrated. And we're going to run out of time, but I wish I had forever with you. But I know that part of the energy balance equation, losing weight, also has to do with some physical activity. And since we talked about low hanging fruit, I'm wondering if you can give us a starting place or something you think of when you think of low hanging fruit when it comes to the physical activity component of weight management.
Yeah, this is such a debatable topic. And again, I don't want to put a target on my back, but when you're looking at the main drivers of weight loss, so if we view energy in, energy out, right, the classic calories in, calories out model, and you can debate that term with me if you want, but we'll call it energy. So energy balance. If we look at that scale, obviously you have several components that are going to burn energy. Obviously, one of the greatest ones is your basal metabolic rate, simply how many calories are you burning at rest, okay? Mm-hmm. But beyond that, nutrition, what you're taking in, is massively important. I don't think anyone would debate that. There's obviously debate on what types of nutrition, but nutrition is extremely important, and so is physical activity. And I'm a believer in if your goal is health, which I think everyone's goal should really be health, you need to have those two components. That's just how humans are wired. You know, we need physical activity in our life. I don't care what stage of life you're at or, you know, really what condition you're at. If you can't move your body, you're going to run into some major issues. And we see this in geriatric patients. It's unfortunate and it's sad, but the moment that they can't really move physically, they really deteriorate very rapidly. And I mean, that kind of shows us that physical activity, I'm not just saying exercise, but physical activity is extremely important. Yeah. And I think what it does a lot for weight loss is not only does it improve your metabolism, we know that, not only does it, you know, increase lean body mass and improve a lot of the enzymes and transporter molecules that are involved with pulling fat out of adipose tissue. But anyone who's ever been consistent with it knows the mental aspect of it and what it really provides as a, call it a stress relief, call it a confidence builder, whatever you want. If you just pull away all the metabolic benefits you get from exercise, certainly there's massive behavioral benefits that you're getting from it. Mm-hmm. And I think if you do your exercise, obviously you can do exercise wrong and you can overtrain or start too rapidly or you know, however you want to frame it. But if you're sensible with it, you build it properly and you surround yourself with people that are going to support your goal and, you know, be encouraging to you. It's, I mean, you probably agree with me. It's one of the best feelings you get.
Oh yeah. Right?
I mean, it's like really to me sometimes like the hallmark of my day. So I think, you know, we get so caught up in the physiology of it, kind of like I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast, but we forget often about the behavioral benefits, and behavior drives choice. And, you know, that's what life is basically a series of choices. Obviously all of us get dealt a slightly different series of choices, but, you know, oftentimes we get to where we're at because of things that we decided to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, we need to just make sure that we're allotting enough time and making the right choices to include physical activity or exercise into our daily routine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it can be like, I think what's interesting is people always ask like, oh, Amber, how much do you work out? I can never go to the gym as much as you do. What people don't realize is it's just that choice to go consistently. And sometimes I only go for 20 minutes, but it's that consistent 20 minutes now. And sometimes it isn't even 20 minutes, but it's that consistent choice all the time. And you're right. Sometimes it's the highlight of the day just to be there. And sometimes it's a grind. I don't want to be, but these are just those choices that are that choice between, do you want to be healthy or do you want to be unhappy? Or do you want to be healthy or do you want to be sitting on your couch watching TV and then feeling guilty in your head, right? And it's just these slight moments in time where those little consistent actions turn into, holy, wow, I look differently, or holy, my mood is different, or wow, look at all these great things I've done for myself that in turn allows me to build up my self-esteem.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, and I just want to tell a quick story that actually relates to that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously this last 2.5 weeks, I can't say that I've ran into the situation, but there's this guy that whenever I go to the gym, he's always there, and I don't know exactly what he does or what where he works or whatever, but I always see him in the locker room, and it's weird how it happens. He's always like done with his workout, and I always say, oh, hey, how are you? And you know, how was it this time? And he's like, oh, it was just awful. And he looks like he's grimaced on, like his face is just grimaced. And he said, at least it's done. And I said, yeah, you know, you're doing great. And I can see he's improving. I mean, you know, he's a middle-aged man and he's obviously taking the steps. But he said to me, you know, every time I don't want to come here, but, you know, that's the whole battle. Once I'm here, you know, everything kind of turns off and it just gets done. He said, yeah. Getting here is the hardest part. But once I'm here, it's not a problem. So, you know, I think a lot of people, that's the barrier that's set up, and you'll be surprised that, you know, when you actually just go there, how easy it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not for him because he's crazy. he likes to do those crazy like circuit workouts, but, I mean, I think for a lot of people though, just getting there.
Yeah.
Right. That's most the battle.
I think you're right, Alex. Well, thank you for sharing that story. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I've been now on a call with you for an hour, but podcasts be shorter than that. And I'm thinking, I only scratched the surface of all of the bajillions of questions I have for you, but I'm so grateful for the time I've gotten. And I know you provided me so much value today, brought me back to some basics today. And I'm more than certain that you will have done that for so many of the listeners out there that get to hear you and be educated by you. Before we hop off today, is there anything I haven't asked you about that you think is important that you would like to share before we go?
That's a good question. I don't want to get into like a long thing. So no, I think we covered a lot of really interesting things. And I think what you're doing is really great. And I really, you know, I give you accolades and I really appreciate what you're doing. And I hope that in the future you can put on some people that were better than me. So
I don't know, Alex, you set a pretty high bar, but thank you
all so, right. Thank
so
you.
Much for coming on.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This podcast was made because of your questions. So please help me get it out there by leaving a rating and review. Until next time, remember, you've got this, and stay consistent.